In Chicago, two comedian skeptics named Andy and Art were mysteriously abducted by the illusionary mastermind and conspiracy theorist known only as Mr. Bunker. The following serves as a record of Bunker's attempt to convince non-believers of the truth about conspiracies and paranormal activity. Andy and Art give an uninterrupted presentation and verdict on the plausibility of these offbeat topics, delivering what they call the whole enchilada. Will Mr. Bunker convince these two skeptics any of this is real? Will it convince you?
Welcome to Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Art Stone, and with me, as always, is your co-host, his name is Andy Hart.
Felicitatious greetings, Bunkfunkers!
Andy, good to see ya.
Yeah, good to see you too, Art. Hey, happy to be here, happy to be me.
You are?
Not really. Oh. It's a thing that I tell people to hide my shame about who I am and everything I've done in my life.
Oh, that's true, Andy. Well, you know what? I got to tell you, it's a good thing to see friends. You know, it's a good thing to be amongst friends, especially. Yeah. Andy, you doing something?
No.
You hear that? What? You hear that?
But what is that, though? I think I hear something.
Wait a minute.
Oh, God. That's Doom Montgomery's music.
Good God almighty, Andy. Not Doom Montgomery.
Oh, I've heard so many stories about Doom Montgomery. He's a scary dude.
That he is. Oh God, oh jeez. Oh my God, he's a sadistic wrestler, Andy. I saw him do horrible, unprofessional, just no respect at all for Vic Capri. And
oh God,
he's from the raging hills of North Carolina.
Dear God,
he's Armageddon as incarnate.
Vic Capri had a family.
This guy's a, oh God, he's coming down the Bunkertron right now. Look at him.
Oh,
he's coming down the
Bunkertron.
Oh,
he's horrible.
There he is.
Now, I only have a couple points to make, and I've been thinking long and hard while both of you bungled up my entrance, and I'm not gonna forget about that. You rest assured, I'm not gonna forget about that. So point one, Chicago-style wrestling. You relegated Doom Montgomery to the Futures Division for an entire year. You trapped me with a bunch of inexperienced animals, and I dominated that division every single time I was in the ring. There was no mercy from me. You had to clean those rookies out with a mop. And now you put me on the main roster, and I want the biggest and the baddest you can bring. I want your Axel Ricos. I want your Adam the Stallions. I want your Moondog Greg Murray, and I will destroy every single one of them. You give me a match next month, and I will tear that entire house down. I am declaring war. Scorched earth policy on Chicago-style wrestling.
Oh,
and now we're going to go up about an hour and a half to Woodstock, Illinois. Northland Pro Wrestling, it is the same exact song, but the second damned verse. Now, I had a little bit of a disagreement with Metalhead the Wrestler when I gave him a three count. And instead of trying to finish the job like I wanted him to do, he walked away. He calls himself a killer, and yet he shows clemency. I'm a little bit puzzled about that. So instead, I declared a fight on my terms, a stretcher match. And you better pray, Metalhead, that those EMTs get to you before I do, because there will be nothing left coming this August.
A stretcher match? Announced here on Mr. Booker's Conspiracy Time Podcast for Chicago style wrestling.
Northland Wrestling
in Woodstock, Illinois.
Oh my God. Doom Montgomery versus calling out Metalhead the Wrestler?
That is exactly the case. In Chicago style wrestling, I'm calling out everyone.
Oh shit. God. This guy's a sadistic freak, Andy. Man. You don't want to see what this guy can do.
His eyes scare me.
Mr. Doom Montgomery, you put down our equipment right now. That you have no right you have no right to come into the bunker and use our equipment.
Take over this.
No Midwesterner has the right to address me.
Oh, he's spanking us.
Ouch.
Where's the chair? Where's the chair?
Oh, God.
He's getting a steel bunker chair.
Oh, God. I'm glad I'm sitting on the open-faced toilet.
Oh, God.
Art, you're getting beat repeatedly with a steel chair.
Oh, God. Oh, it hurts, Andy. Oh.
What are you two nerds even doing here today?
We got abducted.
We got abducted by Mr. Bunker, and he brought us to the bunker, and then you walked down the bunker.
I didn't ask for your life story.
Oh,
why are you here with headphones on talking?
Well, we're doing a podcast.
We were going to talk about doomsday predictions.
Well, that makes somewhat sense, and because I'm a little bit of a sucker for tales of fate, especially those, you know, doomed to eternal hellfire, I'm kind of interested. So,
maybe if you'll stop beating us up, you could join us.
Yeah. Maybe if you started pulling me up a chair.
Oh. Okay. Could you use that chair you were beating Art with?
It's a little bent, but I'm relatively comfortable now.
Okay.
Well,
Bunkfunkers, we're joined by Chicago wrestler extraordinaire, I guess, and sadistic striking specialist Doom Montgomery. Where can the fine Bunkfunkers find you, Doom?
Yeah, so I was as born and raised in the unforgiving mountains of North Carolina. I came here because you know, I had heard that Illinois was inherently violent and that wrestling was very popular up here. Yeah. And so I came, and I was trained by Chicago style wrestling, and they've been gracious enough to allow me to rend most of their talent in two, in spite of the fact they're all very, very, very gifted and very talented. Obviously, I'm just more violent than they are. And
you're sick.
I wrestle
sick man.
Wrestle also for Northlands Pro Wrestling, where I will be putting Metalhead in an ambulance next later in August. But you can find me on Instagram at Doom Montgomery. You know, social media is inherently degenerate, but due to our current environment, you know, you have to have one. So Instagram Doom Montgomery.
Jesus.
And you can find videos of my matches on YouTube. There's a Articulator SK has a few of my matches with Lucha Libre Total and a few other companies. So YouTube Doom Montgomery, and come out and watch me just absolutely ruin people's lives. Love to have you. And unless you don't like me, and then we will have words afterwards.
Oh my God, goodness. I'm chilled to the bone.
Bunkfunkers, you don't want to cross this guy. He's sitting here in a very Patrick Bateman style coat. There's what I think might be blood.
Yeah. It's either blood or a very rich ketchup.
Yeah. Well, it's a typical you don't want to use reciprocating saws to get through tissue because it sprays everywhere. Oh, but
why would anyone know that?
Sometimes speed over precision. And
my God,
here I am.
Well, Doom Montgomery, sadistic wrestler, vile, vile human, here with us today. I guess is going to join us, Bunkfunkers. We're talking about doomsday predictions in the apocalypse.
I guess technically it's doomsday here.
Yes, so
on Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast, because we got Doom Montgomery here.
That's the only thing I can glean from this entire situation.
Jesus Christ. Well, Bunkfunkers, of course, if you can't wait to get to that topic, as always, you can check out the show notes where there'll be a timestamp, and you can get right to it. But first, I guess we'll try and get to know Doom Montgomery a little bit better.
We might regret this.
But, not often that we get wrestlers in here.
Yeah.
But,
or any other human beings.
That's true. So I guess, Mr. Montgomery, what we usually try and do is, you know, we like to talk to our guests a little bit about what they think about the world of conspiracies, aliens, paranormal, all things bizarre.
Well, I've always been interested. I was listening to some old time Art Bell earlier today on
coast
my
to coast?
On my sort of morning routine. I kind of wake up around 4 a.m. and sort of troll various streets and things like that.
But early.
you know, yeah, I always grew up with conspiracies and aliens, and you know, I've always been very, very fascinated by that, and you know, I've always been fascinated by sort of predictions of the ends of all things. So it's very fortuitous that I'm here today.
You do to your opponents, don't
that,
you?
That's it is. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not a prediction. It's a foregone conclusion. But but no, I'm fascinated by the inherent world of conspiracies. So yeah, I'm glad I forced entry into here.
Hey, Mr. Montgomery, you ever seen a ghost?
Have I ever seen a ghost? Yeah, every time I close my eyes, there's quite a few that haunt me.
Oh, fuck. Jeez. Well, listen, did you, I guess, you know, you ever, what do you think? Do you think that there's, as far as, it seems like maybe you're more of a believer when it comes to the world of things bizarre and skeptical and strange. I mean, you yourself are a very strange specimen. Mm-hmm. I think you're fully yourself, sir. The way you think about yourself and the way you carry yourself up and down the Bunkertron and the other rings of this fine city. But have you ever had any kind of strange, you know, UFO experiences? You ever seen a UFO? Anything like that ever across your path?
Let's see here. There was a time I was in Greenville, South Carolina. And, I was in a closet at the time, and I saw up on the ceiling, I could have sworn I saw some sort of, odd, sore-ridden figure crawling across the ceiling, and it turned his head around and fell onto me, and then I had a stomach flu for, like, 2 weeks.
Oh.
But that's probably as close as I've ever come to a supernatural experience. I don't
know if
maybe my immune system was just tanking because I was like trying to make a, you know, Doom Montgomery does not make pillow forts anymore. But back in the day when I was a small child, I had to, you know, protect myself. Jesus. And as you know, in the midst of building one, could have sworn I saw some sort of demonic entity that also gave me a stomach flu.
Well, they should have locked you away in a pillow encased room a long time ago, Doom. That's what I think.
Yeah, they should have put you into a hospital for the criminally insane. Yeah,
that's right. That's where you belong.
Does none of them keep me anymore?
Jeez,
yikes. Well, I don't know, Mr. Montgomery, if there's I guess any other sort of you know, like things that you want to bring up or ideas about the paranormal or the bizarre. Andy, any other...
Yeah, Mr. Montgomery, what do you think happens to us when we die?
I mean, honestly, you know, we're probably all going to be dragged down by the, you know, crushing weight of our own destructive decisions, and some will be dragged down further than other, and, jeez, you know, we'll all see Jacob's ladder as we... attempt to ascend it, but inevitably fall off due to our own corporeal failings.
Now, this is a guest I kind of agree with.
Okay, this is okay. You're this starting to get the you're to, starting to get the idea of the show. Okay.
Getting a hook into
all
me
right,
now.
All right, okay,
yeah. That's speaking my language.
All right, this maybe I can roll.
Maybe
this
is going to work.
I can look past some of the sadisticness and the way he maims his opponents, but.
A quality opinion.
Yeah, it's a good opinion.
We'll be eternal failures.
There's.
Something I relate to.
There's something you can say about what I do may not be the most, you know, may not be the most encourageable thing or the appreciable thing, but I am at least very good at it.
Okay. That is true. I mean, I've seen this guy absolutely just the strikes, the kicks, the precision, like he's sawing and surgically tearing down his opponents. It's disgusting, Andy.
So I guess, Mr. Montgomery, you're kind of like that. You're like that person who makes those. You're like a person who makes those. You know, bowel movement transplant pills.
Yeah.
What?
I think that's pretty fair.
It's a necessary thing, but nobody wants to think about it. That some people have to get a transplant of bowel movements.
Oh, their gut biome.
Right.
It's like the.
So they put somebody else's poop in a pill.
Yeah.
And you stick poop it up in a your, pill. Stick it up your butt.
It's like the entirety of the earth is a toilet, and I am the fecal transplant.
Oh, my God. This guy is good.
This guy might actually really fit in.
He might be a permanent third cast member here.
Well, no doubt that, you know, Doom, you will be a fitting presence on today's episode because we're talking about doomsday predictions, the end of the world. Just like you bring about the end of your opponent's careers.
All of which I entirely support.
Oh, you support the end of the world?
Yeah, I mean...
That's disgusting.
Ideally, you're only going to get to see it once. So.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, I guess we just learned Doom Montgomery's opinion on reincarnation.
You're never coming back as a butterfly.
Gone are my dreams.
I'm just hoping I come back as Crazy Town.
The entire cast of Crazy Town?
Honestly, whichever one was on Celebrity Rehab. Very inspiring show.
Well, Bunk Funkers, in the Bunkertron, in the Bunker studio today, whatever the fuck we are, in the bunker, we have Doom Montgomery, wrestler extraordinaire. Check him out at Doom Montgomery on Instagram.
Yeah, Doom Montgomery on Instagram. I think Doom Montgomery on Facebook as well, though I seldom check that. Instagram is the easiest place to get a hold of me in case you want to see me wrestle or, you know, want a t-shirt or anything like that.
Hopefully see this guy get beat.
There's some sick stuff on that Instagram.
I hope we see Doom get put into a stretcher.
Yeah.
Coming up here at this match.
I'm pro metalhead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess he's an idiot. He's from like Gary, Indiana. And
well, there's nothing wrong with Gary, Indiana.
So no, Michael Jackson.
There's nothing wrong with Gary, Indiana. But no, this guy, like, we were supposed to have a match, and I decided that like I'd let him go over just to see, because he'd been talking tough for like and stalking me and stuff for you know, for months. And then you know, the ref holds his hand up and he just walks out. And then, you know, I was yelling at him to get back in the ring. Gives me his finisher again. I stand back up. Took the guy's finishing move three times, supposed to be some devastating move. And you know, yeah, okay, I couldn't walk for a week. But
God, you are just full of yourself. What a narcissist.
I mean, yeah. I can't think of anyone better to get into a fight for my life with the metalhead. I'll put the guy over in that regard. He is close to as good as me, but I just think I have far more deviancy in my abilities.
Well, I don't doubt that. I go to church with metalhead. And I've never seen you there, Doom Montgomery.
Well, you heard it here first, folks, that Andy goes to church in Gary, Indiana.
So did Michael Jackson.
Oh, God. I think this is a sign of the apocalypse. Us aligning on all this. Bugfuckers, I don't know what's going to happen, but we're definitely going to be talking about the end times. The end is nigh here on Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast.
End times are nigh, guy.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Bunkfuckers, we've got the whole enchilada in his hands on Doomsday Prophecies for you today, and we couldn't think of a more fitting guest than Doom Montgomery.
Hello, everybody. You know, if you see me in the wrestling ring, I'll probably tell you that I hate you, but I am thankful to be here right now talking about one of my favorite things that I often discuss on various different holidays and, you know.
Social gatherings.
Yeah, social gatherings.
Sadistic.
So
you're a sick guy, dude.
I'm thrilled to be here.
So today's episode will have far less structure than normal. You know, we're going to present some well-known doomsday scenarios throughout history, but, you know, there's far, far more available to discuss. I mean, even in future episodes, perhaps. So if you like hearing about the end, tell us in the beginning and we'll cover more. You know, think of this as more of like kind of missing 411 or like some of those other topics where
it's a very big tent topic.
Yeah, big. A lot of things can fit under this umbrella, but there's not as much of a thorough line of narrative. It's no real skeptic's take other than none of this happened.
The world hasn't ended yet.
Yep.
Yeah, just tell that.
Let me go to the skeptoid take on this. Brian Dunning's going to say, well, the world hasn't ended. Therefore, we don't know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
Tell that to the Millerites. They're still pissed off about the whole thing.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
I don't know what the Millerites are.
They were, I guess they're, they've grown into several different churches. But yeah, they thought the world was going to end in like July of like 1788 or something like that.
Wow. Well, they are not covered on today's topic, but maybe they could be covered on a future one.
Well, I'm sure there's someone that's like, you know, colonial American history fan that's just crapping themselves right now with like.
We have a lot of those colonial American history fans.
Oh, I thought you meant fans that crap themselves.
That too.
I apologize if I butchered it. I remember it from Civics and Econ.
I'm more familiar with the Miller Lights.
Hell yeah, champagne and brews. Miller High Life.
That's High Life, baby.
Woo!
I'm customarily required to say that in relation to that, fellow pro wrestler Chris Miller sucks.
Oh, wow. Oh, Chris Miller. God, didn't Chris call Miller. That. Fuck you, dude. Doomsday predictions, a.k.a. Apocalypse Now, are estimations of the end of this physical world. They tend to come in two flavors, religious or apocalyptic. Yum. And maybe more reliable than the world ever actually ending is the prediction of the world ending. There have been predictions of the end since the beginning. And if that ain't the Andy Hart POV, then I don't know what is.
Yeah. I agree with you, Art. There's no better time to think about the end of all things than the beginning of all things.
Right at the start.
If things exist.
When everyone's excited to kick things off, talk about how it's going to end.
Hey, look, folks. If it exists, it's going to end eventually.
The sources used in predicting many doomsday scenarios, especially the ones we'll talk about today, tend to be like astronomy or religious texts. Those are like the two defining fucking things. It's like they either got it from the Bible or they got it from the stars. Sometimes both. And there's big business in doomsday predictions, as we'll see. So let's kick it off, though. So doomsday predictions, right? You know, these are we often think about the trope of the guy with the end is near and he's got the sign or whatever, and we think, ah, goofball.
Yeah, there's a line,
you silly goose.
There's a line from a Harry Nilsson song where he says, saw a guy on the street. It's something like this. I'm not gonna get the words exactly right, but he saw a guy on the street carrying a sign that says, the end is near. And if he really believes that's true, why'd I see him with that sign yesterday?
Yeah, there's someone that's probably a, you know, colonial American history buff that's also a Harry Nilsson fan that's crapping themselves right now.
Really?
You know,
just like, really?
I'm seeing it now. Yes, the through line here is crapping yourself.
Double diarrhea for that fan. That bunk funker's on the toilet right now.
Now, while seemingly unproblematic as a belief in general, right, doomsday predictions, well, they can have some serious consequences. And we should kind of say this up front, bunk funkers. I know that this is kind of a topic that probably will give many of you like anxiety, you know. I mean, it's not always the most fun to think about the end, and it can be kind of nerve-wracking. But, you know, bunkers, I think it's you know, if it's something that really bugs you, I hope you can take the piss out of today's topic, right? You know, I think we can all agree on that. Maybe not you, Doom, but
Oh no, I'm thrilled, and I
this think guy's fucking thrilled.
I think the end of the world is you know, is inherently something that should be joked about, and if you can't joke about it, that probably means you're a little too worried about it and should settle your affairs.
Jeez, Doom Montgomery's gonna come settle some affairs come August with Metalhead in that stretcher match
and Northland Pro Wrestling. Make sure to show up, Woodstock, Illinois.
Northland Pro Wrestling.
Now, doomsday predictions, they can actually create a sense of fear and panic in society, and the people who believe in them are also, you know, as we'll discuss, there have been attempted suicides and many successful ones to sell their worldly possessions in anticipation of the end of the world, which is obviously pretty fucking horrible. The psychological explanations for doomsday beliefs are endless and include cognitive dissonance, the true believer effect, apophania, which is seemingly being able to find the true patterns in what are actually completely random events.
Like the number 23.
Exactly like the number 23. Yeah. And confirmation bias. Take, for example, two topics we've discussed in the past who probably combine all of those psychological effects into one. Let's just give a little recap of them, Bunk Funkers. Heaven's Gate.
Yeah.
Classic one. We covered this topic already in depth. Bunk Funkers, you can check it out. This was Bonnie Nettles and Marshall Applewhite's UFO doomsday cult, whose teachings, which resulted in the mass suicide of 39 of its members in 1997. Applewhite told his followers that there was a UFO hidden in the tail of the Hale-Bopp comet, which only orbits the Earth once every 2,000 years. He told them that the UFOs would then take them to a new realm, a new existence, eternity, heaven. But in order to get on the UFO, they would need to leave their bodily vessels behind at suicide. On that fateful last day of Heaven Gate's members' existence, before their mass suicide, each member recorded an exit interview, so to speak, including Applewhite. He explains that the Earth is like a garden, and that the end isn't near, per se, but that the Earth, much like nature festooning its earthly crust, will once again be recycled and seeded with new alien spirits, which will grow into another human civilization. You can see there where, you know, he kind of combined a lot of that. It's horrible. It's a horrible thing to sit there and say the end is near and you have to sell all your things and say goodbye to all your family.
And I want to, you know, just clarify too. I know I've openly endorsed the apocalypse several times, but, you know, enjoy the ride, everybody. Don't, don't do any permanent solutions you know, what is inherently temporary, which is, you know, the entirety of all human anguish. Just, everything's chaotic. Everything is brutal. Enjoy it. Learn to love it. Don't do anything that's, you know, see the Marshall Applewhite and all them, they combined a lot of my favorite things. Star Trek, Adidas, Marie Callender's Pop Pies, which is where they had their last meal.
That is where they had their last meal. That's correct. And they all ordered the same exact thing.
I don't know what they ordered, but judging by how many...
ordered turkey pot pies and I think cheesecake with cherries.
I hope
a salad.
I hope the actual restaurant was better than the frozen one. But you know.
Oh, you've said a lot of vile things, Doom.
How dare you
will not besmirch the name of
Marie Callender's
chicken pot pies frozen. Well, you can eat them up in the microwave. They're delicious. Got me comforted.
Yeah, just
I was a latchkey kid. I didn't have much to eat.
Molten hot gravy destroying your insides. But,
I don't see a problem with that, Doom.
Oh, you'll destroy people's outsides, but God forbid they get their bowels destroyed by some fucking shitty chicken and peas and carrots.
Thick gravy.
Brain someone over the top of the head with one of those things. But Jesus. But no, don't enjoy the inherent chaos of life.
Speaking of inherent chaos, let's talk about Jim Jones. Another topic we've covered in the past.
Yeah.
Jim Jones may be the fucking poster child for doomsday-inspired cults gone horribly wrong. Jones was a considerable narcissist. Probably more narcissistic than even you, Doom.
Yeah, the glasses and the hair, he came up with that combo. He got a real big head because of it.
Yeah, it was definitely the glasses and the hair. And he had extreme delusions of grandeur from even a very young age. In the 1960s, Jones had a prophetic dream of a nuclear holocaust destroying America. So he moved his family down to a remote area of Brazil where he felt that they would be safe. While it might come to no surprise, when Jones's church, the People's Temple, came under media scrutiny in the 1970s, that he decided to move his congregation to nearby Guyana, isolating them from their families. And by 1974, over 1,000 People's Temple members moved with Jones to Guyana, where they were essentially involved in a horrific slave labor camp with armed guards. Jones was notorious for threatening mass suicide routinely at his camps with his White Knight loudspeaker rants, where he would preach over the camp speakers about the doom, destruction, and atrocities that had befallen the U.S. and their families back home. All this leading up to a disastrous attempt to inspect and rescue defectors from the camp in 1978 by Congressman Leo Ryan and many others, Jones finally went through with his threats of mass suicide. So we can see where, while many of these doomsday predictions are funny, they're goofy, they're silly, we can point fun at them, we can laugh at them, there are some inherent serious consequences for really falling prey to this kind of thought and belief.
Yeah, there's definitely a human toll to some of these far out theories about the end of the world,
right?
And not even well-founded theories about the end of the world in most of these cases. Well, I mean,
very
obviously
much.
The world hasn't ended
very much so. And I mean, let's maybe you know, segue over to one that is a little bit more fun to talk about, but maybe it wasn't at the time. It's Y2K. Any fun Y2K memories to share? Andy, obviously you were one of the older Cobalt programmers that were hired to fix the Y2K bugs. Isn't that right?
Right, yeah.
You're like about 80 years old?
Yeah, yeah.
Been coding for a long time.
I mean, when they told me there was a Y2K bug, I was like, I don't know why you're calling me. Get the raid. Spray those computers with bug spray. But seriously, what I was doing on Y2K.
What were you actually doing on Y2K?
And I remember this very fondly. I was in the Bahamas with my fourth wife, Charlene. And we were on our honeymoon, second honeymoon. We had just gotten divorced and remarried. Now, I was a teenager. I was at home. I was on my computer on my dial-up internet connection. I was playing Age of Empires 2 online with my friend, Sean. And
shout out, Sean.
And we had a stable connection as it turned into midnight. And we didn't have any disruption to our Age of Empires multiplayer.
One hand on the mouse, one hand on your dick.
Yeah, I did think those nights in that game were pretty hot, and I would jerk off to them.
But do you guys remember the lead up to Y2K? I mean,
I was mostly interested in the horses, to be honest, as a teen.
That's the sound the preacher makes in that game.
Can you confirm? Is Doom correct?
Whoa.
There it is.
That's the original Age of Empires Doom. This was the Age of Empires 2.
Oh, okay.
The medieval version.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Doom getting schooled.
Yeah, dating myself.
But do you remember the lead up
just
to
like
Y2K?
Me in high school.
All right. Okay. Got a couple of clowns here. You remember the lead up to Y2K, though? Any thoughts? People were freaking out.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, as a teen, I didn't fucking understand a bit of it.
Really?
I was like, hey, what? The computers, the clocks will go? I don't know. Now, as an adult, I kind of get the idea that mm-hmm. it's like, oh, okay, well, the programming of the computers that fix the date, dates can be represented as a string of numbers, and they only build
in... You're giving away the whole fucking thing.
Oh.
The whole fucking topic.
Well, you asked me about it. Just because I know things doesn't mean I can't say
Doom, I might have to have you make a stretcher match with this guy later on.
Later on?
Doom, do you have any memories of Y2K? Yeah. Any, you know, what you remembered about that? Yeah. Were you scared?
So I grew up on the side of a mountain, in a house. My dad, there was a lot of stockpiling going on, and over a typically reasonable man, but still was stockpiling things you might need in case of a global economic collapse. But,
wow!
You know, I only really thought it became serious once I saw them starting to sell stuffed animals at the mall surrounding the Y2K bug. And that was mostly as the 8-year-old that I was, that was most of my recollection of it. But I also didn't fully understand that computers had taken such a hold on our society. Like my concept of the world ending was like, you know, the bombs were gonna drop,
right,
or mm-hmm. another, you know, the omnipresent mm-hmm. childhood fear of whatever got the dinosaurs coming around for round two. Mm-hmm. But
very true. I don't have any strong memories of it. I was a little too young to really recall Y2K very briefly, but I mean, it did freak out a lot of people. And you're right, Andy. Y2K began as a recognized error in mainframe computer programming. Essentially, to non-eggheadify this for you beefers out there, computers back then, well, memory space was fucking precious. And so dates, like you know, month, day, year, were often recorded with the year represented with only two numbers. So 1952 would just be 52. The 19 was assumed, right? These are old school mainframe computers. This was all well and good through the 50s, through the 60s, through the 70s.
They all probably thought that the world would end before the year 2000.
Probably. Or they just had no concept of like how memory would work with these computers. You know, everything was so precious. Computers used to be the size of rooms. But then as early as the 1980s, programmers were kind of like, hey, this whole computer thing is still going on. What happens when we get to 1999? And what are we going to do the next year? 2000. Won't the date roll over and the computer will think that the year is zero?
1900.
Well, people were too busy doing cocaine and listening to Huey Lewis in the News' new smash hit 4 to care.
You know, they were really a little bit too new wave for me until they came out with 4.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
But by the 1990s, eggheads in the computer industry really started to get concerned. They were like, hey, this thing's coming.
Yeah, like John Romero and John Carmack are just programming Doom and also...
Who raised the alarm first on Y2K?
I don't know, nerds in the 80s. Like computer hardware nerds. Like people who were... This was... You had to remember, computers were not a household thing even at this time. So this was... I mean, they were becoming it more and more, but it was like understanding of computers was not... You know, this was really more of the tech industry. And I mean, they had a good reason to be concerned. The thing is... The computer industry rationally mulled over the problem and pondered whether it would affect very important things controlled by computers, like industrial control systems, ATMs, security systems, operating systems, and banking software especially. They knew that this rollover wouldn't affect the already stored data, right? That's what really, you know, well, here I should say, only the program's ability to record new data where a date and time were key to that record, right? So like if you already had a record in a database stored as 1962, you know, that was a big deal. The Y2K thing would not affect that. It's just, can this program recognize that when we go from 1999 to 2000 and I start to store data, am I going to run into a problem? New data was the problem. Well, the general public didn't know what the fuck this egghead shit meant. So they looked at it and they ran with it. This became a national security issue. Nuclear warheads would explode because it was in the 90s anymore. Evangelicals said it was the end times. Survivalism had a brief trend in the spotlight as people rushed to stock up on canned goods and survival gear, believing everything, even remotely technological things like the power grid and whatnot, would go down instantly as soon as that big balls dropped in New York City.
You know, a lot of people were stockpiling, though. I had a similar experience to Doom.
Yeah.
Where my dad was stockpiling.
He was.
Yeah, but he was not a very practical man. He stockpiled shrimp. He stockpiled all this, shrimp cocktail.
Honestly, that might be the most practical. It's just like pour yourself a nice shrimp cocktail and just watch the skyline as everything goes dark. I mean,
it's true.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
Well, it was a good thing people freaked out because they were wrong. They were wrong. Everyone was wrong. Y2K ended up being the first. The millennials, the new millennium's first nothing burger. What really happened was the eggheads got together and tedious poured over legacy software and fixed the date time formats in the code. Oh, baby. But the old COBOL programmers. Ooh-wee! Ooh-wee goo goo ga. COBOL was a old and very early mainframe computer language, and a ton of bank software was written in COBOL. Oh, my God. Oh, that legacy software, among others. And these motherfuckers made a fucking dime on the Y2K because, like, these dudes were old. They were retired by the time this was happening. They were chilling at home. Banks are calling them up like, we need you to fix this Y2K in the software, like, because we're still using mainframe. We're still using COBOL. And they're like, Jesus fucking Christ, I'm fucking retired. I don't want to fucking do this. They charged outrageous fees. Didn't matter. Paid them anyway. Motherfuckers came out, fixed it.
Man, oh, man. This is some thrilling action. I would love to see a movie about Y2K.
I mean, that was probably their world series. So, like, they'd probably,
oh, yeah,
they'd probably been like these fucking new jacks coming around, like talking about their new programming language, like, you know, Windows and you know, now they need the old guard.
Yeah, you fucking losers with your BASIC and your Fortran and all that. Good old COBOL. Now, don't get me wrong. There were a few little minor hiccups here and there. The scariest thing being the malfunctioning of some alarm systems at a Japanese nuclear power plant. But it was not worldwide chaos. Why? Well, the only things really affected by Y2K were the old pieces of software that no one used anymore, but had to be released to be Y2K compliant. Those were the only things that really like broke. And it's like no one gave a fuck. So remember back in the day, software used to be released and that was it. That was the software. Like if it had a bug, oh, well, you better wait 5 years for the second version. Like it had a bug. Like that's it.
You could download some patches for some things.
Sure.
But you know, it wasn't routine.
Yeah, you could get a 2 megabyte floppy disk and, you know, maybe that had enough data on it to fix.
Anything that was worth fixing went and got fixed, right? Banking software, industrial control systems, alarms, all these things. But hey, Y2K actually arguably was kind of a good thing. It forced the entire world to get prepped and make sure that they were writing good, functional, scalable code and reviewing their disaster preparedness systems. So shout out to the eggheads who spent an insane amount of time poring over legacy code, changing one little line so that date times were stored compliantly.
Clap, 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 clap,
clap. Let's move on to another doomsday scenario here. The Mayan calendar in 2012 apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. Now we're getting into high school girlfriend territory here with the 2012 starring
John Cusack.
John Cusack, yeah.
Wow.
We covered the Mayan calendar in 2012 pretty extensively on our The World Ended in 2012 episode. You should go check it out if you haven't. It's chock full of disaster goodness. But the essential little soundbite that you need to understand this one is that the Mayan calendar recorded a really long length of time they called a baktun. In their calendar system, baktuns only went up to 13. Now, December 20th, 2012 CE would have been 12.19.19.17.19 in the long count calendar system. And December 21st, 2012 would have been 13.0.0.0.0. The completion of one quote unquote grand cycle, which is the 13th baktun. According to the Mayan creation myths, we are living in the fourth world, and the third one ended on the 13th baktun, or December 21st, 2012. This is why people were fucking freaking out about this whole 13th baktun thing, and many internet personalities took to forums and YouTube and what have you to declare December 21st, 2012. As the dawning of a new era or the beginning of the end.
See, I don't get what all the hiccup was about that. Because, I mean, like, how cool would it be to be, like, OG of a new human era?
That would be kind of cool.
Like, it, you know, assuming it would be, you know, there's going to be some growing pains and, you know, it might be horrific, but, like...
Bull on Yoke Day, the Mayan god of death and destruction might come down and raise some, you know, some hell.
But, like... You know, just, you know, you wake up, pour yourself a nice cup of coffee or whatever, you walk outside, and there's just, like, monolithic Pueblo temples everywhere all of a sudden. It's just like, I count that as a good day.
But. I would definitely not survive to see it.
Yeah, you're not making it to I'm barely making it to the 10th baktun, let's be honest.
Yeah, right.
The way I'm going,
you know. It's like if the world was supposed to end in December 21st, 2012, it's like the first thing that happened, I would be like, oh, geez, that scared me. Oh, God, my heart.
Waking up to a new existence on the 13th baktun. But that's kind of why people were freaking out. That's why December 21st. That's why people were talking about how, oh, the Mayans, they didn't plan for that. Well, it's like, no, the 13th baktun was a new grand cycle. Their whole calendar reset.
And just a big circle.
It's a big fuck. Literally, it's a circle.
It's a big circle.
The baktun, there's the hob, there's the there's one that starts with a T. And they all just roll over and then they restart. It's kind of neat. So, you know, it had people freaking out. But that's the Mayan calendar. Let's move on to another. This one is very well known. This is Nostradamus. Little Nostradami. Little Nostralami Dami dumbass be out here predicting shit for years and people be like, for real, no cap? Motherfucker's bussin'. On God, bro. Bruh. Dead ass. Nostradamus.
One more of those people comes into Planet Fitness while I'm trying to work out. I'm going to throw them through a plate glass window.
You know, like Zoomers with their little floppy hair and their...
I don't know what's changing in humanity where they're like... They're all just growing to look the exact same. Hmm. And I cannot discern them. And I know, I recognize I'm getting older. And I recognize that... You know, all culture changes and shifts, and there's nothing at all wrong with that. But how about you, herniate a disc on the lat pull down machine somewhere else so that I can use it correctly.
Wow. Doom Montgomery's going to fight a Zoomer soon.
You heard it here first, bunk fuckers. Doom Montgomery says, dead ass, all Zoomers look the same.
Yeah. For real, for real? No cap. Nostradamus was a neat little French dude. 16th century French astrologer, seer, apothecarist. He was like a doctor at one point, or a physician, I guess they say. He's best known for his book, Les Prophéties. Les Prophéties. I don't know how to pronounce it. Which is a book of almost 1,000 prophecies in the form of these like four-line stanzas called quatrain. They're like little poems. Now, Nostradamus, he was a trained apothecary and had a knack for occultism as well. People were like, oh my God, Nostradamus, come heal me, dude.
Call my mommy. I need Nostradamus.
There he is. He died of gout.
He's like, oh, my big toe hurts.
He did. He couldn't heal his own gout. Now, many supporters, however, for example, agree that he accurately predicted a lot of things in this book of 1,000 predictions, right? The Great Fire of London, the French Revolution, the rises of Napoleon and Hitler, both world wars, nuclear destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I mean, you can find literal, like, there's like a Nostradamus prediction society where they are adamant about spreading the word of Nostradamus's work.
Yeah, and it is so great that he predicted all those things and we were able to stop them from happening.
So true, so true.
Because we had so much foreknowledge.
And shout out to Nostradamus for leaving these predictions so vague. I mean, the dude could see into the future, but instead of clearly stating what would happen and when, he left it super vague enough to chance.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm making a prediction for 100 years from now. A great power will rise.
Oh, my God.
Holy fuck.
You heard it here first.
Doom Montgomery.
Now, I can't wait to see what that predicted.
Now, what about Nasty Damus's apocalyptic predictions? Huh? Let's get to those. That's what that's the real meat. Let's talk about there's
oh, he could dom my ass.
That's right. Cosmic threats.
I'm a little sub.
I have to actually turn my phone to read these things, these stupid quatrains. So cosmic threats. Let's read. This is one that you can find in his book.
This is like where you go outside and you shout at the sun. I'll fucking get you, son.
Old man yells at clouds. Yeah. The great mountain, seven stadia round, after peace, war, famine, flooding, it will spread far, downing great countries, even antiquities and their might foundations.
I know that one.
Do you?
Yeah. I know what that's about.
What's that about?
That's about solar flares.
Fucking no.
God damn it.
Get your Nostradamus out of here.
It's about the rise of Zoomers.
Oh, that's a super volcano.
No.
Fuck.
Is this in reference to a massive comet striking the Earth? A great mountain, seven stadia round? Huge fucking comet. It will spread far down in great countries. In the past, we covered Oumuamua, which was the first cosmic object to enter our galaxy, which originated from beyond it, and that thing fucking snuck in real easy. NASA didn't even know when that fucking thing was in here until it was out. It was heading out. Came in, looped around the sun, shot its ass straight out of the galaxy.
And that was a big rock, too.
It was fucking huge. I forget how big it was, but it was big. Even NASA is like, yeah, we don't really know what's coming until it gets within range of the sun. NASA said this. NASA said this. They don't really know what's coming into our galaxy until it gets in range of the sun and it starts getting heated up by the sun's rays and starts glowing.
Yeah.
So maybe Nostradamus is right. Big old comet coming down, smacking our little planet on the ass and blowing us all up.
I mean, you're not really going to know until it looks like Majora's Mask. So, yeah, yet again, just enjoy the ride.
Wow, good reference, Doom.
Once you find out about it, you ain't going back to Clock Town. Just enjoy the ride.
Wow. Wise words from Doom. Let's talk about the next one, Andy. You almost had it. Super volcanoes.
I guess this one. I predicted this would be next.
You predicted this one would be next.
Wow.
True.
I'm a little nasty Nostradamus myself.
I got two stanzas for you.
Yeah.
Quatrains, whatever these are called. Earth-shaking fire from the center of the earth will cause tremors around the new city. Two great rocks will war for a long time. Then Arethusa will redden a new river. Part two. A fort at 45 degrees, the sky will burn. Fire to approach the great new city. In an instant, a great scattered flame will leap up.
when one will want to demand proof of the Normans. Now, could this be a prophecy of some super eruption blanketing the sky with volcanic ash? And what is this new city? Well, Nostradamus heads, these people who love Nostradami, believe that new city is a coded message for the new world, which is the USA. And it could be, as we brought up last week on our topic about the Georgia Guidestones, Yellowstone National Park, due to the hot springs located there and its geological classification as a caldera. A caldera being a large pocket of magma, boiling hot magma, beneath Yellowstone National Park. It's true. Look it up. Yellowstone has two VEI-8 volcanic eruptions. These are like measurements of, scientific measurements of volcanic eruptions, which, by the way, those are the highest. They have volcanic material eruptions measuring over 1,000 kilometers cubed. Basically, Yellowstone was shooting some major fucking loads. This is their fucking, I mean, Yellowstone was like on a stack of fucking aglutamine and fucking like lycopene, you know what I'm saying? Celery for that clarity.
Various different
Doom things. Knows what's up.
Oh yeah, various different things that, you know, live streamers sell in between super chats.
Oh yeah. And, can really lengthen your load. I mean, you could, normal men, Andy, are shooting only like a couple of, centimeters squared of volume. You can get up to 8.
Wait,
big loads.
Celery?
Yeah, it helps whiten it, makes it pearly.
And just to
look
doom,
it up.
It's just a doom tip aside that
L-agamine. What is it?
LL Cool J tip. But if you're concerned about that, load. if you are concerned about that, I will say that is probably not the reason that you're not. Not getting with the ladies.
That's true.
Semen retention is that's from what I understand of the roughly 3 to 4 women I've talked to, is not one of the major deal breakers when engaging in romantic behavior.
Well,
doesn't mean you shouldn't eat celery or go for it, but like you know, start sit her down and say, "I've been eating some ants on a log," and go from there.
Semen retention. You heard it here first, folks. Big, very important. Open it up on Tinder. Fear not, beavers. These major fucking loads springing out of Yellowstone, those eruptions occurred some 65,000 years ago. But could we be on pace for a repeat? Apparently, geologists have measured that every 650,000 years, Yellowstone has a major eruption, like a massive eruption. The magma pocket beneath Yellowstone has, and this is a scientific term here, bulged. This is from science. They said it bulged over the last 20 years. It bulged. It's been bulging.
So Yellowstone's
getting a burner. It's getting a stiffy.
Sporting a bulge.
Sporting a bulge.
Ready to erupt.
Let's talk about the one last one, which is Nostradamus loves this. Oh my God, does he love these. Global famine and global warming.
Oh,
God, he loves these predictions. These are like his bread and fucking butter, except there would be no bread and butter because it's global famine.
Yeah.
The great famine, which I sense approaching, will often turn in various areas, then become worldwide. It will be so vast and long-lasting that they will grab roots from the trees and children from the breast. So Nostradami, he's sitting here talking about global famine getting so bad, there's no food, that we have to resort to cannibalism. Doom, cannibalism.
I mean, is it at all possible that 100 years from now, someone's just going to find like a Megadeth record and view all of that as predictions? And is it possible?
That would be dope.
Is it possible Nostradamus was just trying to write like cool stuff?
He's trying to write metal.
Yeah, but like, you know,
like that. And these are very metal lyrics, Doom. I like that.
Yeah, like you'll be so hungry, you know, you'll steal children from the breast. Like,
that's very metal.
I
sounds like a Sepultura album.
Yeah, I'd be, you know, one like I already want to listen to it.
Nostradamus, I look forward to your metal album.
Yeah. Has anyone done that though?
Testament has a dope album about the and a dope song about the seven seals, unlocking the seven seals of Revelations.
Yeah,
Judas Priest had an album called Nostradamus.
Oh, did they?
Mm. Yeah, it's not bad. It's not it's not firepower, but you know, it's not painkiller. Yeah.
Were there any quatrains in it?
Oh, I'm sure.
It would not surprise me.
There was a couple of fucking hemis though on those fucking motorcycles that they're riding around in.
With rocket launchers attached.
Rocket launchers, quatrains on them. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Just people made of metal riding out of fire.
I like that, Doom. Thank you. I appreciate that. Nostradamus is metal as fuck. I don't know. You know, we can talk about later too in the discussion about our feelings on Nostradamus. But let's keep moving along here.
How long would it take for you to have to, you know, eat a kid? Well, how hungry do you have to be? Yeah.
Yeah, let's be.
Oh, I see. How hungry would I have to be? Not how long time wise would it take me to eat a child?
What was his name? John Stilton? Who did that? Milton Stilton? What was his name?
Milton Stilton and the fun child eating experiment.
Milton Stilton and his blue cheese children.
No, there's that Irish. A fucking Irish author who actually wrote a satirical book about it. What was his name?
I don't remember. I can't remember the name of the book.
Yeah, I can't either.
Or the pamphlet.
Where he was like, hey, there's a famine going on in Ireland. What if we eat babies?
Yeah, it was satirical, though.
It was satirical, but people didn't understand that. Yeah. So they're like, what the fuck? What's wrong with you? He was like, it's a joke.
All right, I'm going to look it up.
All right, Andy's going to look it up, but let's move forward here. Harold Camping. Name that ringing any bells? Anyone heard of Harold Camping before?
Harold DeCamping or Harold Camping?
Harold Camping.
Never heard of him. Disappointed.
We have talked about a lot of doomsday predictors, but no one drops an end times sized atom. No one drops an end times sized atomic deuce quite like ya boy, Harold Camping. Got that name?
Are we ready to come back to
Irish
famine? Jonathan Swift.
Jonathan Swift's.
A Modest Proposal.
A Modest Proposal.
You know what I kept thinking in my head?
Yeah.
An Inconvenient Truth. But I know that's not right. That's Al Gore's climate change movie.
We need, and we should be eating babies.
Some girl with like short, gelled up blonde hair comes out with a guitar. It's just like, we've got to eat some babies. I can't remember.
The world's getting darker and we got to eat our babies today.
Thank you, Sheryl Crow.
I can't remember who did the ending theme to
There's babies the easiest. Baby, I know. Harold Camping. Your boy. Harold Camping. Who is he, you might say? Well, he was a very prominent Christian media personality, the CEO of a company called Family Radio, a radio network started by Camping in 1959 and mostly broadcasted in California. Now, Camping spent most of his airtime spreading the good word, evangelical style. But you see, he had a bachelor's degree from Cal Berkeley in civil engineering. So he was a bit of an egghead, or should I say Eucharist head.
I'll allow it.
Thank you, Doom. I didn't get anything from Andy on that one. I don't think that's right. Do evangelicals use the Eucharist? That's a Catholic thing.
No.
I assume that they do partake, right?
Well, they probably call it the body of Christ.
Yeah. I don't think anybody else calls it the Eucharist except for Catholics.
I always imagine like big rings and I don't know. I always figured like bling was the evangelical.
That's true.
Various different.
Having like a fucking PJ.
Holy rituals.
Gold-plated Christian Hummer.
Yeah. Speaking of Titantrons, goodness.
So wait, let me make sure that I understood the joke, though. Is it just the food aspect of it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Okay.
He's not an egghead. He's a Eucharist.
Yeah. It just didn't make me
laugh.
They
both start with E.
It just didn't make me
There's
laugh.
There's a lot of good tie-ins. It's a good bit. It works.
He's evangelical.
It works.
If it was in a writer's room, it would get put on the board.
I'm just saying it didn't make me laugh.
Okay, well, are you the showrunner? I don't think so.
I understood the joke then.
So you can sit down and pitch your own shit. I'll see you pitching fucking, give me fucking 10 egghead bits by tomorrow morning or Lauren's going to have your ass for breakfast.
He's an evangelical, so it's like he's a casserole head.
That works there. Egg salad head, I don't know. He used his quote unquote knowledge. People debate how smart he actually was. You know, he's one of those things. He's like, well, I've got a degree in Cal Berkeley, but he's like, he never used it. He wasn't actually a civil engineer.
That's like me having a degree. Everyone can tell on his face that I'm a moron.
He used his knowledge, quote unquote, of engineering mathematics to develop a mathematical system that he claims can interpret biblical prophecies. And then Harold first claimed he knew of the end time, which was going to be September 6th, 1994.
Oh, fuck. I do remember when the world ended.
That's right. Then September 6th, 1994 came and went. And he modified his prophecy to claim that September 6th was the day that God removed his Holy Spirit from the earth and that nobody could be saved after this date and that God was calling all those already saved to exit organized churches.
Oh.
Then in 2010, he changed his predicted date for Jesus to return to the 21st of May of 2011. So he's already changed it like 3 fucking times.
Yeah.
Now, Harold and his followers prepped. And they prepped hard. You just made a fucking smirk. You made a smug little smirk. You're sitting there so smug. Bunkfunkers Andy's got his little arms crossed. He's smirking. But wait, Andy. They prepped hard. Since the world was ending, Camping let his listenership know they would no longer need their money. And his followers donated in droves. Altogether, Family Radio amassed, I shit you not, 100 million in advertising.
Wow.
To fund the spread of the word about the end times on May 21st, 2011.
So they gave up all their worldly possessions to buy advertising space?
Hang on, Andy. They used a lot of it towards advertising. That's how much they amass in total. Thousands of billboards were erected. News stations picked up the stories. Park benches. A caravan of vehicles drove around the country promoting the rapture. And other nonsense was dispatched out of Oakland, California, and quickly infested various cities throughout the U.S. and Canada. 100 million. Good thing, too, because Harold Camping was wrong. He was wrong. But not really. You know, funny story about the apocalypse. Here's what happened. May 21st, 2011 came. And then May 22nd arrived. And people were, they were a little peeved, I gotta say. I mean, I gave a lot of fucking money to this thing. And I woke up the next day and there's no end of the world. What the fuck, dude? Harold went into hiding, but they confronted him at his house where he
Why would he hide at his house?
I know.
He's not in hiding.
He's an old man. He's like very old at this point.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he started old. In 1959. This is 2011.
So he's kind of, you know, relegated to his house. He's not really going anywhere. He was quote unquote flabbergasted that the rapture did not occur. Here's what he said. Give me a day. No interviews, please. I've got to live with it. I've got to think it out. So his followers nicely put down their tar and feathers and they let Harold think.
Wow.
Well, you're either right or wrong on that one.
He's got to think, Doom. He resurfaced on Monday, the 23rd of May.
How many days was that? One day?
Yeah, one day.
Okay.
He said, give me the day.
Gotcha.
And claimed that the 21st had actually been a spiritual apocalypse, not the literal one. See? So on May 21st, Jesus was secretly here, judging people, judging everyone, and he already decided who's a VIP to get into heaven and who isn't. And the fire and brimstone and the end times and shit would all happen on October 21st, 2011. For real, no cap, but like for real,
okay. Was Harold Camping and his stuff the basis for that Left Behind book series?
It might have been. It might have been. I love those books.
Oh yeah,
maybe.
Never read one.
I read a few of them.
Saw a brief part of the movie starring Nicolas Cage.
I didn't see the movie either.
I didn't either. Yeah.
I had all those books at my house as a kid, and I never read one of them.
Well, here's the thing, guys. So secret. Spiritual apocalypse, great fucking, what a great way to get out of getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. Oh,
he's like Hong Min Chen,
the Chen Tao
guy. Yeah.
Oh, it was a spiritual apocalypse.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's like, fuck. Well, October 21st came and went too. And well, then Harold really went into hiding. He died of a
back
stroke.
Back in his home. Oh,
yeah. He really went into hiding. He died of a stroke not too long after at the age of 92. The damage was done though. some pretty heinous things occurred afterwards. One woman attempted to, you know, kill her own children in preparation for the rapture. A 14-year-old from Russia took their own life on May 21st to avoid judgment. Countless followers were fleeced of their money, including Robert Fitzpatrick, who had spent $140,000 of his life savings publicizing camping's bullshit. With no refunds after he was proven wrong, people were led to believe it was just a large scam. One of the largest religious scams in history, mind you, just to get people's money. This seemed to be backed up by reports from Harold's own ministry that showed that they retained all of the cash and assets at normal levels before the rapture, and workers still planned business as usual for the following week.
Wow. Did he keep any of the money that was donated, or did it all go to like these advertising and billboards and
stuff? I think a lot of it went towards the advertising, but like they kept a ton of it.
Wow.
It's no refunds.
Incredible.
All tax free.
It's fucking fucked up, man.
Yeah.
That's where it gets, that's another one where it gets pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, my grandparents lived in South Carolina, and my cousins were, I didn't know it was that guy,
yeah,
but they were all into it. And you know, they were, you know, this was sort of the first little run. It wasn't, you know, 2011. It was when was the first time, what his first prediction?
94.
Yeah. It was around.
Oh.
And, but they were, they're all talking, oh yeah, lakes of fire. There'd be a final judgment between God and the devil would reclaim earth. And, yeah, I mean, it sort of explains where, you know, how I got to be where I am.
Wait, now. The devil would reclaim earth?
Yeah.
Is God just cucking the devil,
yeah,
by creating humanity, yeah, and letting us live here? And yeah, this is some sort of sick sexual thing for the devil?
Yeah.
He's getting off to watching God fuck the earth?
Wow. Yeah. Devil's a fucked up little dude.
And then when God's done, the devil comes back to reclaim it?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Heard it here first, bunkfuckers.
You heard it here first, bunkfuckers. The devil is a cuck.
Get cucked by God.
Cucked by camping, too. So let's talk about some other doomsday predictions. We'll get through some shorter ones, but some common ones. Planetary alignment, right? All the planets aligning in our solar system has long been a sign of the apocalypse. People love this one. Great floods, mass earthquakes, the dawning of a new ice age, and more. Yep. All of these predictions have come true. In movies starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Wait, has he been in a movie that does all of these things? Honestly believe that. If
he
you
was
told
in
me
San
yes.
Andreas. He was in like a bunch of fucking shit, dude.
Wow. What was San Andreas? An earthquake?
Yeah, I think it was a massive earthquake or something.
Yeah.
He's flying a helicopter around.
Jeez.
I mean,
it's like, yeah, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a helicopter pilot. Sure. This is a dude who's like fucking 7 feet tall and six feet wide. Can't even fit in a helicopter.
This is like Shaq driving a race car.
Yeah, like, Shaq is a race a jockey.
Shaq in the like in an F1 racing movie.
Shaq in an F1 car would be the fucking funniest thing.
Shaq as a jockey is pretty funny too.
That movie needs to get made.
Shaq could probably sit on a horse and his feet could touch the ground. Like he could sit flat footed and still be on the horse.
It's just extra speed.
Yeah.
He can Flintstones the horse.
Yeah, he becomes like a centaur.
Let's talk about another one. As you saw Halley's Comet.
Yes, Shinedown and related apocalypse.
Yeah.
Halley's Comet passes by the Earth approximately every 76 years, but its nearness in its approach in 1910 created fear that it would destroy the planet either by a celestial collision or through the poisonous gases it was rumored to contain. A worldwide panic ensued, stoked by the media and such newspaper headlines as "Comet may kill all Earth life," says scientist.
Wow.
When people talk about like mainstream media, you got to realize it's been going on since forever.
That's an awesome headline, but props to that scientist for saying that.
It's like you could print cigarette ads and be like, "Doctor recommends for pregnant mothers." Like,
yeah.
This will help calm those pregnancy anxieties you've got.
Used to be.
Smoke a Marlboro.
Get this, though. A group in Oklahoma, these might be some, some doom people, tried to sacrifice a virgin to ward off the impending doom.
Hey, well, and they're all still there the next day.
It ain't stupid if it works.
They tried, so they didn't weren't successful.
I don't know. People started to bottle air. It became a hot commodity at the time. Bottling air. Oh, you're going to need this when the world fucking ends. And, you know, the Earth actually probably did pass through part of the comet's tail. But, you know, that was in 1910. Here we are.
Man, imagine how much atmosphere we had then. So much more atmosphere. The gas would have never got here.
Yeah.
You'd be much more worried about it today.
You would. Let's move on. This is another one. This is the blood moon.
Okay.
The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Joel 2 verse 31.
Now the double bass kicks in right now.
Dude, the entire Old Testament is the most metal book on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you get...
Blood Moon? Come on.
No, Blood Moon's great. It's hard to make a song about, like, circumcision.
But... Yeah, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. Okay, maybe cut out some of those.
Hey, Mr. Montgomery, do you know what you call a cheap circumcision?
What?
A ripoff. Jesus. Got him.
Can you fucking dropkick this guy for me? Oh! Oh, God, he just dropkicked him. Oh! Oh,
he did it again. Is the blood moon just when the this is
I
a
see a blood moon arising?
It's me, John. Pretty clear, but I'm a demon. I'm a demon, demonic.
John Fogarty.
I'm a demonic John Fogarty.
That's a good character. I like comes back.
I hope so too.
Still better than the last CCR album.
Oh, wow.
No, he's sick.
I love CCR, but I don't even know it. But the one that John Fogerty didn't write and let all the other guys write was really bad.
Dude, Montgomery throwing punches and throwing shade. Well, let's talk about blood moons. The red color is caused by what's something called Rayleigh scattering of sunlight through the Earth's atmosphere. The same effect that causes like sunsets to appear nice and red. The blood moon prophecies were then a series of prophecies by Christian preachers John Hagee and Mark Blitz. Or is that Biltz? Wow. Biltz. Related to a series of four full red blood moons in 2014 and 2015. The prophecy stated that a tetrad, basically a series of four consecutive lunar eclipses, all also coinciding on Jewish holidays with six full moons in between and no intervening partial lunar eclipses, which began on April 2014, was the beginning of the end times as described in the books of the Bible, Joel. And then that passage from Joel is referenced in Acts 2:20. And then again, it's referenced in Revelations 6:12. Now, the tetrad was supposed to end with the lunar eclipse on September 27th, 28th, on 2015. Hagee wrote the book Four Blood Moons, which is fucking dope. What a title. It became a bestseller by April of 2014. Now, the thing is, obviously, the world, you know, skeptic's position, the world didn't end with those blood moons. But there have been 62 tetrads since the first century AD, though only eight of them have coincided with these certain Jewish holidays. So it was kind of a
fairly unique.
It was very unique. There's like all these, these blood moons are lining up on famous holidays.
Yeah.
That relate to the Bible. So that's neat. Blood moons. Anyway, let's talk about another one. This is the Prophet Hen of Leeds. In 1806, a domesticated hen in Leeds, England appeared to lay eggs inscribed with the message, Christ is coming.
I didn't realize that this was going to be about an actual chicken.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. You're going to like this one, Andy. Great numbers of people reportedly visited the hen and began to despair of the coming judgment day. Christ is coming. It was soon discovered, however, that the eggs were not prophetic messages, but that the work of their owner, the hen's owner, who had been writing on the eggs in corrosive ink and then reinserting them into the hen's anus.
Well, cloaca. See, Mr. Montgomery.
Oh, Christ.
Chickens don't, they have one hole where everything goes. They poop, they pee, they lay eggs, they have sex out of one hole, and it's called a cloaca.
Very efficient.
Yeah, you get it.
Well, I love old timey, just old timey medicine in general. Just like, yeah, throw something at that rabbit, see if it dies, and you know, if it does, then yeah, you probably have you probably have leprosy. it's just like, oh, I mean, and it's no different. You know, we're seeing Jesus and toast and stuff, even present day. But
I'm smelling toast.
You know, the idea of just like, yeah,
stroke.
No, I smell toast. I think you left the toaster on.
Oh,
in the bunker.
The medium of an all powerful entity's communication is chicken eggs.
Yeah, chicken eggs and food and shit.
That sounds like a god I want to commune with.
Oh man, and then to let the eggs lay right on them and then stuff it back into the chicken's cloaca.
That's brutal.
That's
mean to the fucking chicken.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Well, speaking of talking with a deity that I don't know, does weird shit like that, speaks through fucking food and eggs and shit. Let's talk about Montanism. Montanism was a second century schismatic movement of Christianity that began in what is now modern day Turkey, based on the visions of Montanus, who claimed to speak under the influence of the spirit. Montanus believed that the second coming of Christ to be imminent. Many Christian communities were almost abandoned when believers left their homes and migrated to a plain between the two villages Papusa and Timion in Phrygia, which is what I guess is now modern day Turkey. Right? Am I saying that right? Phrygia?
Is it so PH?
This is like ancient?
Yeah.
PHY?
Yes. PHY. PHR. Phrygia. PHRYGIA. Where Montanus claimed the heavenly Jerusalem would descend to earth. That was a fun one. I like that way of describing things, though. Like, hey, when's that meeting with your boss? Oh, it's imminent.
that's gotta be fun too, because it's like,
what time are you heading to the party?
Imminently.
He said it was like second century, so Christianity's only been around for like 100 years at this point.
Yeah,
and it's just like, now we're just a little flash in the pan religion. Like, he's come back, and
he's
coming
back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to have a schismatic movement already,
right?
This church is barely established, and then people are like, no, this is already off the rails. This is already gone too far.
Yeah, like, that's
time for a schism.
That Justinian guy, you know, I don't know if I buy into it.
So let's move on here. You know, boy, oh boy, there's sure a lot of doomsday predictions out there, huh, boys? But what about some modern doomsday predictions? Anything relevant recently that could contribute to doomsday predictions?
Oh, I don't know. Everyone.
No, I don't know. Nothing really coming to mind for me, Doom.
Yeah. I don't know. There, something happened in the last 2 years that I'm having a tough time recollecting. Oh, yeah. All the Jonas Brothers went solo.
Whoa. Oh, shit.
When the Jonas Brothers aren't aligned, the end times are coming.
The
promise ring is broken.
The earth is out of balance.
Obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic was a big-time player in the doomsday apocalyptic scenario game. So much shit went down during the Ronas that you beefers might have missed this doomsday prediction gem. Sylvia Brown was a relatively unknown psychic author. You hear about this, Andy? You're nodding your little head?
Oh, I'm just nodding at Sylvia Brown.
Okay. Was a relatively unknown psychic author who published a book in 2008 titled End of Days, Predictions and Prophecies About the End of the World. Here's the passage. Quote, in around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs and bronchial tubes and resisting all known treatments. Then later it said, almost more baffling than the illness itself will be the fact that it suddenly vanished as quickly as it arrived, then again 10 years later, and then disappear completely.
Wow.
Wow.
That's the most accurate thing I've ever heard a psychic say.
I know, right? Brown herself passed away in 2013, so she never got to see her prediction come to fruition. But during 2020, her book shot up to number 2 on the Amazon nonfiction chart. Pretty fucking crazy.
I think
that's pretty accurate.
Was it Sylvia Brown, the TV psychic, or was it Miss Cleo that went on Larry King and was with James Randi trying to take him up on his $1 million challenge? And
it might have been. I don't know.
I don't remember. I think it was Sylvia Brown.
Could have been.
Anyway.
She might have been one of them.
I wish it would disappear as quickly as...
Well, yeah. She kind of whiffed on that.
Yeah.
That's true. She did whiff on that.
How funny, how funny would it be? You just wake up and Anthony Fauci's just like, I don't know what happened.
It's gone.
It's fucking gone.
But COVID is gone. I don't know where it went.
It's like, yeah, you know, we're crawled a press conference because that thing is it's out of here now.
Get me a blade of gabagool. I got a long night ahead of me. Okay. Hey, Chihuahua. COVID. Oh, it's me, Anthony Fauci.
He's a hard-working Italian. Okay, you gotta put some respect on his name. Those are the funniest fucking memes on the planet. Is people writing in someone wrote a spec script for like a Sopranos episode that takes place during COVID, and it's just the best fucking thing. It's the same. It's almost as funny as the Seinfeld 9/11 episode that someone wrote a spec script for, which is equally as funny. Bunkfuckers, look it up.
He's a respected Italian. In this house, we respect them.
All right, let's move on again. We're getting close to the end of the episode here. Don't worry.
Oh, not the end of the world.
Not the end of the world. David Mead. Let's move on to David Mead, if that is his real name.
David Mead?
Mead.
Oh. So,
wait.
There's a business that man could go
it's
into.
It's not?
David Mead?
Oh.
I just think that'd be a funny name.
He's never disclosed his real name? David Mead?
Oh.
I don't know who David Mead is.
I don't know either.
Someone you're wrestling.
I think
I ran into a David Mead at a truck stop.
Yeah. It'd be a fun name to have, especially written on various different bathroom walls.
We gotta complete with Slim Jim. Fucking David Mead. My sticks aren't in any gas station in America. I got the prime name.
Look,
for
I want to know what in the hell I'm paying you advertisers for. Here I am, an honest, hard-working butcher and farmer, David Mead, out here selling my beef sticks. And by God, Slim Jim is taking over the market. You even got fat pork ahead of my beef sticks in the markets. What the hell?
Now listen, I've been using your products for a long time, but there ain't no goddamn way you expect a family of four fully grown adults to eat a 12-ounce package of your sausage. So I am moving on to David Mead's 16-ounce packages of sausage.
I'm going to go back to David Mead's 16-ounce packages of sausage. It ain't as tasty as yours is, but it'll work.
That's just genuinely mad. He's like, I heard about these evangelical crazies. They got $100 million for their advertising budget.
Where's David Mead's $100 million, goddammit?
David Mead is a very prominent doomsday and end times conspiracy theorist, but his twist on the subject is that he's a Planet X / Nibiru end times conspiracy theorist.
Oh.
This is big. This is its own category of doomsday is Planet X. People are, this is like a topic in and of itself, is this fucking Planet X that people are not, NASA is not disclosing how close Nibiru is to colliding with the Earth. Nibiru Doom, if you're not familiar, is the planet that harbors the Anunnaki.
Or allegedly, engineers of the human race.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well,
and they are the original gods of the ancient Sumerians.
I want to take a sidestep here. Mead is a self-published author of 13 books and has made numerous failed predictions that the hidden planet Nibiru / Planet X would collide with Earth and destroy it. I want Mead's books. I want to list them out here because
good titles.
Chef's kiss. Okay. David Mead would have to say chef's kiss.
Okay.
Like some of his famous sausage sticks. Let's begin. We got David Mead published on April of 2013, Planet X - God's Endgame. Fucking great title. Sounds like a book that would actually make me do the accelerated reader program and try to win a Pizza Hut personal pizza party.
Well, if the pizza wasn't enough motivation for you, I don't know what to tell you.
He follows that up in May of 2013 with a book titled Fraud Prevention.
Well, I mean,
it has nothing to do with the end of the world.
Then another book in May of 2013 called Mysterious Islands. Then another book in July of 2013, Research for Writers.
Oh my God, he's pumping these out.
He is. June of 2014, you can write a best-selling info book. Exclamation point.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Let me guess. The guy selling all the writing help books. Yeah, there's your doomsday predictor.
September of 2014, web design for authors. Every author needs a website.
It's a very multifaceted man.
Oh, yeah.
These are more like informational books than they are.
And he comes back to where he originally started.
Okay.
March 2015, Rapture 2015, and Planet X.
Okay.
There you go.
Then we get into December 2015. Own a piece of paradise in the Florida Keys.
Oh my God, is it a timeshare?
Then we've got December 2015 again, Hitler's escape to Argentina.
Wow.
January of 2016, will Planet X signal the rapture? Question mark. February, he finally found his niche here. Another February 2016, Planet X, the 2017 arrival, paperback edition.
Addiction.
August 2016, The Coming Clinton Economic Collapse, Kindle edition.
Glad he's with the times.
Yeah.
June 2017, The Prepper's Guide to Surviving EMP Attacks, Solar Flares, and Grid Failures.
Okay.
And then finally, November 2017, The End of Days, Planet X and Beyond.
Okay.
So he's been all over. He's quite a prolific author.
This is a renaissance man.
So Mead has been making these Planet X predictions since at least 2013, but arose to prominence for his 2017 prediction.
For his books on how to web build design, a website for
how to
author.
Build websites.
How to contact the Unaki and also, you know,
figure, also have a good website.
Yeah, yeah. Also become a published information author.
So he said his prediction was that Nibiru would destroy the Earth on September 23rd, 2017. Well, first he said it was October of 2017. Then he moved it to September.
We moved it up.
I'll give you a couple months margin of error for a doomsday prediction. You know, if you say it's going to be a year, no. But if you're like, hey, it's going to be a couple weeks, I'll let that one slide.
And I got to say, this is a rarity in doomsday predictions. You don't see many people moving them up.
Right. Well, he said he found it by trying various passages from the Bible. Mead declared that these passages contained secret numerological codes that he revealed, which would reveal the exact date on which Nibiru would arrive. He also based his predictions on the geometry of the Giza pyramids. So he switched from September 23rd. He switched, you know, then he, well, when he switched it to September 23rd and then September 23rd came and went, he then switched it back to the original date, which was October 5th.
That's not much time.
And he claimed that several people would levitate into the sky. There would be a nuclear attack. There would be earthquakes. The North Pole would shift. Lots of crazy shit would happen. Then when October 5th came and went, he said, okay, well, it's actually going to be March 2018. Then March 2018 came and went. He said, okay. For real, though, it's going to be April 23rd, 2018.
No cap.
Then he said it would actually be somewhere between May and December of 2018. I mean, what the fuck? Do you expect him to pick an exact date? The end of the world will be somewhere between now and the future. All right? Get off my back. I have books to write about the Florida Keys.
Yeah.
Okay. There's enough time in between to justify buying a timeshare.
Buying. There's enough time for you... Look, the world's going to end. You might as well sink all your money into paradise in the Florida Keys.
True. Now, many doomsday predictions tend to be religious in nature. Let's talk about this. From an Ohio State student psychology blog called The Psychology of Extraordinary Beliefs.
Wow.
I think they put it really succinctly. I want to actually steal the exact text.
You can quote them.
And read it. I am quoting them.
These Ohio State students, these are no dummies.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm looking at it. I'm not so sure because I'm looking at one right now.
That's not a very nice thing to say about Mr. Montgomery. I don't think he even went to Ohio State.
No, I've got a technical degree. And
he's got a degree in breaking bones.
Yeah, just various different...
kicking ass.
Yeah.
From the School of Hard Knocks, Tufts University.
Various different anatomical studies of, you know, how to dismember.
Jesus Christ, you're a sicko. All right, as mentioned previously, doomsday predictors and believers tend to come from the same community, people who are religious. This is because many different religions have information and predictions about the end of the world through religious stories and text. Additionally, religious people tend to believe that there is good and evil in the world and that as society progresses, the evil is beginning to overtake the good. When you believe that most people in the world are bad, but that you are good because you are religious and have morals, it can be easy to think that there is an end of the world for people who are bad. or that the world will end and everybody will die as punishment because of the bad people, the sinners. This is what justifies and sustains good behavior. The idea that bad people will be punished. Social influencers are also absolutely a part of this conviction of belief. When religious groups get together to face the predicted end of times, there is strength in numbers. When the date comes and goes and nothing has happened, many people probably believe that there is no possible way that an entire group could have been wrong. And this sustains belief that as new predictions emerge, you know, when every member of a group believes in something, group polarization can occur as well, which can lead to increased strength of conviction and belief. End quote. Very well put, right? A lot of these are religious.
Yeah.
So there's also a danger in the inaction as a result of religious doomsdays. For example, the classic let Jesus take the wheel kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Perhaps these religious prophets should read their own book from Matthew 24, verse 36. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father. Boom. Checkmate, fucking Christians. Perhaps the sin they're really committing is one of vast pride, like they're some special soul with insight into God's plans. But only the Father knows the plans. Checkmate, Christians.
Tip of the fedora.
Take my updoot, and thanks for the gold.
Kind stranger.
I mean, yeah, don't think that you're going to get lucky enough to see like skies of fire and everything. That'd be far too cool. Like,
yeah.
That doesn't happen every day.
Right. Or biblically accurate angels, which are a lot of
eyes.
Yeah, they're a hot topic on the Bunker Discord. We love
eyes.
Talking about biblically accurate angels on the Bunker Discord.
Most people in the Discord like talking about biblically accurate angels.
Yeah.
And I like talking about anatomically accurate toys.
Oh, the things you've done to those poor He-Man action figures.
I've been banned from the Discord a few times.
Yeah, I've had to put you in timeout a few times.
I go on administrative leave from the Discord.
Well, Bugfuckers, we hope you enjoyed our foray into the end times, because alas, the end times of this episode are nigh. Your fearless co-hosts and guests, Doom, Montgomery, have peered into their seeing orbs and already knew this topic would end, but fear not, for we, the great Bunkstro Dumbass, have scribed a new prophecy for you. In the stone cavern, sealed shut by smoke and beef, two ancient beings scream into the void. Heed their call, for with the smut comes a hidden treat. Spew forth an eruption of great lament. The whole enchilada.
Literally just finished a podcast and he's pondering his words.
Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast will be right back after this brief message.
Hey there!
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.
Hey In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on cannedairpodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
Welcome back, Buckfuckers. That was our research of the apocalypse, doomsday predictions. With us still is Duma Montgomery.
How's everybody doing? We learned a lot today.
We learned a lot.
He's such a heel.
Oh, he's such a vile guy. There's
a few foregone conclusions that the world will end. I will most likely be a part of it. And you know, anyone who steps into the ring with me is doomed to fail.
Good, great segue, Doom. I have a question for both you boys. When the end of the world is coming, let's talk about the scenario at play, and then when the end of the world is coming, will you guys be take action kind of people or inaction kind of people? What do you think? You're going to give up? Big old comet? Head towards the end of the world? Are you going to be like, no, we got to do something. Armageddon style, let's go blow up that comet. Get Bruce Willis on the first fucking flight out there. Or are you going to be like, fuck it. I don't care. It's the end. Whomever. And just.
Well, for me, it would depend a lot on a couple of things. The prevailing winds. Which way are things going? Are people sort of saying we could do something about this? Or are people mostly being like, there's no hope? Because I think that would really affect me. I would be more of a social action. If there were other people doing stuff, I would be like, sure, I could donate money to that cause. Sure, maybe I could lend my time.
But you're not doing it.
But if nobody's doing anything, I would probably be like, whatever. I had a good run. And it also depends for me, too. Again, how close am I to the impact? Where's the comet touching down? Ooh, if it's coming all the way on the other side of the Earth, I don't know. Am I going to do anything? Maybe not. Will the impact affect me? I don't know.
If are you prepping? Are you getting a bunker? Are you like doing anything?
Well, it depends. You know, if it's going to crash down near me, I'm going to have to survive this thing. Then I would probably start taking some action. If it's going to land on top of me, I might go somewhere else. It depends where I am in my life. But if it's going to be on the other side of the world and the impact is supposed to be minimal, you might not do anything.
You might not do anything.
But then again, prevailing winds. If everybody's doing stuff, I don't want to be the one who's just not doing anything. Hmm. People are like, wow, this guy just, you know, because I mean, honestly, Art, we live in a society and
we live in a society.
Yeah. So I'm worried about that social pressure.
Doom?
I mean, I think life is inherently cruel. And so, you know, either way, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy all the chaos and carnage. And, you know, if it comes to things like food and water, yeah, but I don't see myself spending years and years and years to create a shelter and things like that. I think I'm just going to, you know, as kind of like Andy said, I'm just going to ride the waves, but I'm going to appreciate whatever the end times brings and just wow, genuinely enjoy it.
My mom's got a ping pong table in her basement. I'll be good.
You guys want to come over to my mom's house and play ping pong during the end of the world? Have a little ping pong tournament. Winner gets a megabyte.
I'll get a foot-long sub from Subway. Winner can get it.
Winner can get half the sub. 6 feet.
The other half is for me.
Wait, did you say a foot long?
I said 1 foot long.
Oh, 6 inches.
I'm an action kind of guy, so I'm taking action.
What are you going to do?
I'm not giving up if it's a comet.
What are you going to do? You're going to go, you're going to like... Dude, call up NASA.
Dude, I'm fucking surviving. I'm a cockroach. I'm a cockroach. You are not getting rid of... I'm a fucking cockroach, dude. You're not getting rid of that easy.
Yeah, so
I'm living out there. I saw scurrying around your kitchen.
Scurrying around in my kitchen when the lights were out and he was eating my garbage.
Eating all those little crumbs you leave on the floor. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, Art was down there on the floor licking my floors.
Scurrying around your cabinets. I'm a little cockroach, man. I'm not giving up. I'm going to live throughout the apocalypse. I'll start my own fucking tribe, my own band of marauders.
Oh.
And we'll fucking live and we'll survive and we'll collect resources in the nuclear holocaust, and that is the new world.
You've been playing too much Fallout.
Dude, I'm going to have an enclave. You're not getting into my fucking town. That's true. Nobody who's like you is getting in. No Andes.
This is your one chance to get rid of me.
Mm-hmm. I'm gone.
I'm sure the mutants would have eaten me anyway.
You'll become a mutant.
Yeah, probably. I'm already half there.
I think if the prospect of wearing other people's bones is on the table, I'd be in.
Oh yeah,
because that seems like something.
God,
that seems
something you'd be into even now, dude.
That's on a bucket list.
What's in the bucket?
Oh, what's in the bucket?
What's in the bucket?
What doomsday scenario do you hope befalls you? What's the doomsday scenario you guys want to see happen?
Is this how we die?
Sure.
Okay.
The one you want to be a part of.
Whether
you live or don't.
Comment.
Obviously, we just lived through fucking Contagion, so I don't know if anyone's
going to I don't want that one.
I already had that one.
I definitely want Comet or like a nuclear bomb being dropped on me. I want it quick and painless. Get it over with.
Super volcano, famine, too slow?
Famine, yeah. I wouldn't want famine. Super volcano could be good. Again, I want to be close to the explosion.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one of these people who's like, oh, I died because of famine related to the super volcano explosion. I want to be one of these people who got instantly incinerated by magma.
Second coming of Christ?
Magma.
Second coming of Christ, you want to be part of the rapture?
Rapture... No.
Angels, demons fighting each other. Little demons poking you in the butt.
I don't want to be a part of that. Yeah, I don't want to be a part of that.
It doesn't sound fun at all.
No, the rapture only sounds good if you get raptured. If you're left behind, it sucks.
Yeah, that fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I would go Lovecraft. If it were up to me, I'd like to have a cosmic entity reveal itself in spite of it always having been, and the fact of the nature of my very finite existence compared to its just melts whatever tethers I have to the realm of the sane. And, hopefully I could just, drive as many people as I could off the brink of sanity in an inherently malevolent universe. And
so you're becoming a Cthulhu cultist.
Yeah, that's my ideal.
Wow. Yeah,
what an answer. Ideal.
That's a great one, Doom.
Jeremy. You liking that?
Oh, yeah, Jeremy's getting on that.
Jeremy's
getting on that one.
Leave us a message in the Discord right now.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Or like,
yeah, Jeremy, the moment you hear this, if you don't fucking post a message right now,
we will find out.
Or if we like could all turn to soup like Neon Genesis or something like that, that'd be good too.
Oh, like Evangelion is actually just Ancient Aliens, the anime.
Yeah.
If we just get liquefied?
Yeah, like we all just turn into what is the orange crush that they're all in the robots in. But yeah, and then like there's just anime girls like that like spawn out of the planet. Like honestly. It's for
that
the
sounds
fellas.
Nice.
That sounds pretty cool.
I wouldn't mind living in
an anime would be cool.
Yeah.
I like the idea of an Akira style dystopian cyberpunk future. But I suppose that's not really apocalyptic, is it?
Yeah, how's the world end in that scenario?
Well, I don't want to spoil Akira, but a psychic child becomes like a omnipotent super weapon.
Oh.
I'm going to go with a super volcano. I like a super volcano.
You're very into the super volcano.
It just really fascinates me that there's a super volcano sitting underneath Yellowstones. Well, and it could just blow up, and then it could cover Texas, and then, you know, it'd be crazy.
It would have to happen after Pierce Brosnan's lifetime. Because I'm pretty sure he beat Dante's Peak.
Oh, yeah. Dante's Peak.
Bearing in mind, I haven't seen that movie since freshman year of high school. So it's, but I'm fairly certain that Pierce Brosnan, he goldenized it and kicks its ass back underground.
I think so, too. I haven't seen that movie since the 90s.
I've never seen it. I don't know what you both are talking about.
It's great.
1997.
Dante's Peak?
Dante's Peak.
Yeah, it's about a it's about a volcano in L.A., I think.
Oh, hell yeah. And it's got Pierce Brosnan.
It's got Pierce Brosnan.
Linda Hamilton.
Wow, really? Pre or post Terminator?
No, I'm just sorry. Post Terminator. It's on a mountain. What the fuck? I might be thinking of another disaster movie that was in... that was set in L.A.
So, wait, are you saying that Dante's Peak isn't about a super volcano?
No, it is.
Okay, because I didn't want to completely...
just thought that it was set in Los Angeles, okay. That, like, Los Angeles opened up.
Because I didn't want to completely derail this podcast for no other purpose than to make a Pierce Brosnan reference if it wasn't based off a super volcano.
You've already done that with your vile personality and your bloodlust.
So yeah, I do my best.
I like a super volcano. I think it's neat. It's horrific. It's destructive. It fits the... I'm serious. It fits the mold of an apocalypse. It's horrible. It changes the landscape. It's horrific. It brings about this, like, it's very Dark Sun. It feels very like it would change the world as we know it. It would change the climate. It would change everything.
Yeah.
And it would be...
See, that's the thing with a super volcano that you don't think about,
cataclysmic.
Though. Cataclysmic. And then also with, like, impact of things from outer space is that this stuff, there's this initial event that's very, very destructive. Like, this super volcano under Yellowstone blows up. Like, it'll shoot magma all over the air, and there'll be, like, volcanic ash raining down on lots of places. But
then I head into the tunnels, Andy, like Metro.
But
like
stuff
the Metro
is,
games.
I'm just saying that stuff will fill the air, and that could potentially like dark out the sun on the whole planet.
I have been prepping my whole life to live underground in a place with no sun or windows.
I am aware.
That is why I want this existence.
This
it's
is not
beneficial
me.
To me. I am a cockroach human.
This is not me arguing with you. I am just saying this for the benefit of the bunk funkers. These events. Bunk funkers, you got to think about it. These events kick up a lot of stuff into the atmosphere. It could block out the whole sun.
I mean, I would love to undergo an apocalypse if it meant I got to hang out with like surly ex-military Russians underground.
And, yeah, fighting and, like, demon dogs.
Yeah. They're just like, well, you know, at least we will figure out who wins, communists or Nazis.
These are like old KGB guys.
Yeah.
I've been underground since 1989.
The world would become an alien one and live in it.
Man, this is very Planet of the Apes.
You
blew it up.
You damn
dirty volcano.
You damn dirty grapes. Planet of the Grapes.
Well, eventually it gets to
the point. A banana in this bit that we're doing. Think of me, Charlton Heston, as a banana. And then instead of apes, it's grapes. It's a fruit-based movie. I'm going to keep going until Andy joins in.
Oh, listen, Charlton. that sounds like a great idea, but...
I really like the whole concept, but I'm not keen on apes. Let's change it to grapes. Dumbest bit ever. The stupidest bit on the planet.
You have nobody to thank but yourself.
I know. Cool. Bunkfuckers, let us know. What are your apocalyptic scenarios? What do you want to be a part of?
How do you want to die, Bunkfuckers?
Yeah. Or live. You can live through it.
He's really just glossing over that whole bit he tried real hard to put forward about Planet of the Grapes.
He's trying to move past
it. Oh, no. I'm not trying to gloss past it. I'll force it in. I'll fucking Planet of the Grape this whole fucking episode. Planet of the Grapes. It'll catch on.
I know when I go to listen to this, I won't listen to it. I know when I go to listen to this after it releases that there's going to be some, there's going to be all these Planet of the Grapes references sewn in.
Oh, yeah. You haven't even, you don't realize how many I peppered in. I fucking, like a puppet master. Let's talk about that. Will we see an apocalypse in our lifetimes? What do you guys think? We just kind of lived through one. That's still kind of going on.
I think that...
You know, and a lot of people, though, look at a lot of different things and have apocalyptic... You know, people alive during the Cold War were like, this will be the end of us. Ask a lot of people, yeah. I mean, they had literal prepping constantly for nuclear fallout.
Yeah.
We don't really do that anymore.
Yeah. I think that, no. I don't think that the end of the world or the end of humanity will be like an instantaneous act, if that makes sense. I think that it's way more likely that we use all our resources and we can't replace them, or we irreversibly damage the planet to the point that it's
fuck it to death.
Unsustainable for humanity, and then people will just gradually sort of die.
Or move to different planets.
Yeah, assuming that we have space travel. But, you know, knowing humanity, we will do all of the fucking stuff up well before we have the ability to travel to another planet and make it hospitable. So that's how I think the human civilization ends.
But you're not putting it in your lifetime.
Probably not. It's probably at least 50 years from now. And there's no way that I will ever see 50 years from now. I'll be lucky to see 2 decades from now. It's amazing I've got this far.
What a triumph. Congratulate me.
Yeah. Triumph.
Against all odds.
For me to poop on. What a triumph. What a triumph. Hi, it's me, Robert Smigel. I'm here on the show too. Want to hear me do some super fans? Top bears. That's me, Robert Smigel. Some of my best love characters. Remember Saturday TV Fun House? That's me, Robert Smigel.
Oh no. The Planet of the Grapes bit is being overshadowed by old SNL bits.
No, Robert Smigel bits.
Robert Smigel bits.
For me to poop on.
It's the apocalypse of bits. Of shitty bits.
The bitpocalypse.
What about you, Doom? What do you think? Are we going to see the apocalypse? Are you going to bring it?
I mean, yeah.
Like, obviously, you're going to bring it.
Yeah, I mean, if I can cause it, it'll be a triumph. Uh-huh. I think, I don't know, I think it's probably going to be one of those, not with a bang, but with a whimper.
You agree with Andy.
Sort of like sounds Metalhead's going to be making in August of...
For
wrestling. Metalhead. But, yeah, I think it will be gradual, and I think that it may not even be, you know, because humanity is very... small in the grand scheme of things. So I don't think it'll even be man's inhumanity to man that causes it. I think it'll probably be some sort of foundational event that changes the fabric of existence. But, you know.
Wow, foundational event. Leaving it up to chance. Could be anything.
Yeah, but I think, you know.
Like a next world war, what have you.
Yeah, I mean, but even if humanity declines, like, the world's not going to end. It's just going to be the end of humanity. Like, yeah. we can all blow ourselves up at any time. And,
wow.
You know, that's always an optimistic prospect that I remind myself of on a pretty regular basis.
Yep.
But,
yep.
Hey, Doom made a good point. I had a human-centric view.
We both did.
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez. I guess that guy really, you know, you're really, really do have a lot of time to think when you're sitting there training, ready to smash people in the face.
Yeah. I mean, I think about the temporal nature of human life very often as I'm very excited to shortening it.
Wow.
Yeah, it gives me a wider scope of things.
I'm often thinking about the tempura nature of things. What would be good, battered, and fried?
Right. Speaking of battered,
Planet of the Grapes would be great.
Oh yeah, get a fried grape fritter. You ever had a grape fritter?
I have.
No, but that used to be my nickname in high school. Grape fritter.
I had a grape fritter.
So let's give our fucking whatchamacallit. Let's give
verdicts?
Our verdicts here on the Doomsday. I don't know. What do we? I guess. Yeah, what do we?
This is a good question about what's the verdict going to be?
What is the verdict going to be?
I guess maybe we say what, give a verdict on how likely we think it will be that whatever we choose will be the way the world ends. Does that make sense?
Okay, like, so super volcano.
You pick super volcano and you say, you know, case confirmed, the world is definitely going to end from a super volcano.
Yeah.
Or I say, plausible plus, the world's going to end because one of the moons of one of the other planets in the solar system crashes into it.
Right.
It splinters it into a million pieces.
Okay, so Doom, the way this works is we have a scale called the bunker scale, and you give verdicts based on case closed, meaning it's not plausible at all, to case confirmed, meaning it is 100% true.
Okay.
And then everything in between. So there's like plausible is right in the middle, plausible plus and a half, highly plausible. You could go plausible, minus and a half, plausible, minus, minus. There's tons of different, Andy's got a scale there for you.
Oh, okay, perfect.
So, okay. Andy, why don't you take the lead here and then Doom, you can either follow or pass it.
All right.
All right. Doom Montgomery gave me good perspective during the discussion.
Wow.
That I think for an end of the world scenario, I got to think bigger than just humanity killing itself.
Yeah.
I got to think what's going to destroy the Earth.
You do.
Now, we know for a fact that eventually the sun is going to die. And that's going to destroy our whole solar system because we won't be able to stay here anymore. Everything's just going to fall apart.
Right.
But that's going to happen in roughly 4 more billion years. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm gonna play Sylvia Brown. I'm gonna play Nostra Dumbass here. I'm gonna say something from outer space collides with this planet.
Wow.
Something so significant that it destroys the whole Earth. It could be after humanity's already died or moved to another planet. But
that was plausible. What?
I'm gonna say that's what I think happens. I'm going to give this, I'm not very confident in my own prediction. I'm going to give this plausible plus plus. Wow. That's what I think is going to happen.
Whoa.
Plausible plus plus.
All right. Great, great verdict there, Andy. Doom, it's up to you. Do you want to go? Do you want to pass? What do you think?
I'll puff or pass. I'll throw my hat in.
All right. Throwing his hat in the ring. Doom Montgomery.
I think as far as my prediction of cosmic entities, tearing the fabric of existence asunder, I'm gonna give a positive plus to that. I think people are already kind of losing their minds, and you know, it's only
a matter of time before
it can only get more fun. And then for the secondary prediction Doom Montgomery having a hand in the end of the world, that's got to be case confirmed.
Oh! Wow!
Oh my holy God. Moly. You are one Rick. Sick puppy.
You are a sicko. Watching this guy reveling
in
makes
it.
Me sick.
Reveling in it. The fibers of reality just disintegrating before us.
Oh, he's and so full of
Montgomery.
Himself.
Oh, he's so. I will definitely bring this about.
Jesus.
Yikes.
For me, you know, I'm going to stick with my
super volcano.
My fucking dope ass super volcano. Right. This is not a regular fucking dumbass volcano. It's a super volcano.
Bunkfunkers on the Discord, look for Art's Rule 34 drawings of super volcanoes.
Yeah.
Because those seem to be imminent.
I'm going to look that up. I'll post them. You're going to get fucking spammed with super volcano notifications, Bunkfunkers.
You know, I think it's plausible plus that we could see another super volcano eruption somewhere on the planet in our lifetimes. Big time. There's a bunch of them. A lot of active volcanoes around the planet.
Do you think the supervolcano will fundamentally change the surface of the Earth?
Could.
To make it inhospitable?
Could. I think that there could be, if it's a true supervolcano, you know, this is one that really fucks a lot of things up. I think it could truly, like, yeah, like, be something that people need to prep for, and it would vastly change the outcome of certain things. Do I think that will, you know, that's why I'm not going super high on it. Like, you know, I don't know if I could give like a plus or highly plausible, mm-hmm. but it's like, I think, yeah, like in general, probably like you're saying, like some kind of cataclysmic event from outer space or a mass change in climate or like a world war or something is probably more closer to a case confirmed for me. Famine, stuff like that. But, you know, I'm sticking with my super volcanoes because they're fucking cool. Bug Bookers, let us know, what are your thoughts on the apocalypse? And let us know, use the hashtag.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Right. I'm not Doom.
You don't have to give it if you want. Hashtag Super Doom. Huh?
Wow.
Super Volcanoes, Doom, End Times.
Hashtag super volcanoes, and if you want, Planet of the Grapes.
Oh my God, there it is. That's what there I was going to say.
Right there. That overrules it.
Super Doom's cool, though. It sounds like the name of an anime.
It does a little bit. Use the hashtag, either of those hashtags, super volcanoes, super doom, or Planet of the Grapes.
Dealer's choice on this one.
Dealer's choice. Let us know what you think. Email us, MrBunkerPod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at MrBunkerPod. YouTube us, or find us on Patreon, patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. If you feel so inclined, you have the means to do so, throw us a couple of bones. $5 a month will get you access to the Discord. We can see all those Rule 34 picks I'm about to post. And all the behind the scenes extra content on the Discord, 40 million plus hours. Cool content on there. But anyway, more so than all that, Doom Montgomery, what do you have coming up? And can you please plug your social media one last time for the listeners out there?
Yeah, so come, let's see here. Come see me at Chicago Style Wrestling. Let's see, August 19th at Northland is the following day, August 20th. I have, those will be coming up in August. Then in September, I'll have, September 16th. I will be at CSW. You can also come see me in, the Janesville Wrestling Alliance. I'm there pretty regularly, should be there in August. And just all around, if you know of a wrestling promotion and you want to see me there, just send me a message or send them a message. You can find me on Instagram at Instagram Doom Montgomery, and you can also find matches of mine on YouTube here and there. And that's about it.
Wow! Check them out, beefers.
Check it out.
Go to those matches in August and September so you can root for the opponent.
That's right.
Because this guy's a sicko.
He's a sick guy.
Inherently bad person.
Yeah.
Inherently bad, bringing about imminent destruction. I guess we got to get rid of this Doom guy. Get him out of here because he's making me uncomfortable.
Starting to hear sirens. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and head on out there.
That could be anything.
But for not the titular Mr. Bunker, but for my hobbledehoy co-host, Andy Hart. I'm Art Stone saying that was the whole enchilada.
Yummy. Oh no, the world exploded.
Thank you. I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.